tell you about a man that I have met.
Hey, what do you know? It's a cowboy version of me.
Oh, wizard, don't forget.
Oh, wizard.
CJ Morgan's his name, and he wanted to start a show. So we did. Now you're listening to him on that dang old radio.
This little cowpoke's gonna mosey up on out of here.
Gentlemen, I don't know if you recall, but I came in here boldly one day and pronounced that the worst physical ailment mankind can suffer from would be a combination or one or the other, a runny nose or a stuffy nose. So that's the worst.
That is?
You can't sleep. You don't feel good. Then a couple days later, I had a headache, and I was like, I'm amending this. I'm going to put a headache above having a stuffy nose or a running nose. That is the worst ailment.
Yeah, I suppose it can interfere with sleep. So
that a man can suffer from.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I'm now outranking stuffy, runny nose. I'm outranking headache. I now have a brand new worst ailment that human man can suffer from. And that would be a tummy ache. Tummy aches are real. Even cowboys get tummy aches.
That's true.
Tummy aches can be a myriad of different problems. You think you're dying. You think you ate bad food. I even thought I might have been poisoned by the staff of Double Dave's.
Yeah, and then that tummy ache's going to turn into runny buns, which is also a really big problem because that's a way to really be trapped somewhere.
You don't know when or how it's going to go away.
Well, I was going to say the worst tummy ache is one where vomiting or runny buns doesn't help it. Alleviate it.
We can't get too much into this because of the FCC violations, but when you get double-ended, you know what I mean? Like when you get really bad food poisoning.
Oh, no.
You gotta use that smaller bathroom if you have one where the toilet's next to the tub.
Yeah. Or,
it's the only way out.
Oh,
it's the only way around.
Oh,
yeah.
The only way around is through.
Fortunately, I made it out. I did ask my girlfriend to tickle my back while I tried to fall asleep.
Yeah.
It was pretty rough. Tummy ache came out of nowhere. And I don't know what caused it. I don't know what's going to make it return. So I'm just trying to be real careful now. But it was full on bad tummy ache.
Do you think it has anything to do with your diet of Parmesan cheese?
I did eat pepperoni rolls, Parmesan cheese and ranch, and I had a milkshake. So
just wash it all down with a bunch of cream. And
it wasn't a tummy ache that was caused, like, it wasn't the kind of tummy where I was like, oh man, I ate too much. It wasn't a bloaty sharp pain. It was like bloaty sharp pain, but also with nausea. I didn't throw up. I didn't have like any other, like there were no fluids or nothing, but I felt like the other thing could happen. Like it was going to come out of both ends, but it didn't. And I finally woke up, you know, 6, 7 a.m. and I was like, all right, I think it's subsided. This tummy ache is gone, but man, it was rough, and I don't wish that on my worst enemy. Tummy aches, right, guys? That's the worst thing. Is there anything worse than a tummy ache that we can have crop up? No, I'm not talking about like ass cancer, getting your arm cut off,
okay?
Or breaking a femur.
Well, I thought you were going over that, and I was going to say. Well, I have spent literally months in a hospital beside somebody who had cancer. And
see, I don't mean stuff like that.
I felt like they would have argued maybe.
They would have said, yeah.
But of course, they can't argue anymore, CJ.
Oh,
they
because
can't.
Their tummy ache went away. That's good.
You're right.
All right. Well, you know what? We'll get you over this belly aching radio show. Some new music, plus concert tickets to Black Keys to give away. 21 Pilots overcompensate. Hey, it's the CJ Morgan Show. It's the soundtrack to your life. Happy National Film Score Day. It's something we might not think about a lot, but as a little kid, it was one of the most important things to me. The music in a movie, tying you in, making you feel emotional at moments, or even scared during frightening movies when they kind of rack up that suspense. But what would movies be like without a film score? That's what we celebrate today with the greats of John Williams, Howard Shore, and more. Kind of side note there to my childhood, Matt. When you would hear songs, did you ever think like, "Oh, this is a movie moment"? I'm like walking into this house.
Are you kidding me? You don't think
great.
As dramatic as the two of us are, that we didn't do that constantly. I would take
just to the Garden State soundtrack.
I would take any album and then try to turn it into a movie soundtrack in my head.
That's what I really wanted. When I was young, I wanted to work in radio or direct music videos. Yeah. Two very vibrant careers.
Two things that are on the
right
now.
Yeah. But yeah, it's National Film Score Day, and I feel like it's one of the things that are so vitally important, but kind of we forget about, right?
Yeah, now, if I'm correct, the score is separate from the soundtrack.
Yes, absolutely. The soundtrack can be a part of the score.
Correct.
But the score is all the music you hear while watching the film. It's not necessarily the...
There's a couple of tracks in Barbie that get played on radio or whatever. Those will be part of the soundtrack, and the score would include all the moments in between. Think of this. Every horror movie you've ever seen was only good because of who scored it. If you try to watch a horror movie and it has no score whatsoever, bum, bum.
It kind of gets rid of that anticipation because it's a cue. It's an aural cue to the audience to know something's happening.
Can you hear the beginning to Star Wars or the main theme from Raiders of the Lost Ark without immediately, you know, and those are two... One of those movies, Star Wars came out in the 70s, right? 76 or 77?
Yeah.
And you can still hear that, and this is, 50 years later or something?
It's one of the most, it's the number one on the list of most memorable film scores. Yeah.
Well, I think it, I wonder if it got played on the radio back then. You think?
Probably as, transitions and sound things, but
maybe,
I doubt a rock station was playing instrumental music.
Well, I know it was more popular back in maybe 50 years ago to have a song that artists made specifically for films also played on the radio and charting, but
yeah,
I don't know if it was
charting.
Shorts
got you good. Yeah. Well, and now what's really popular is to take a very popular artist and ask them to write a song specifically for your movie, and then you can put it out and it gets airplay. It's actually helping you advertise the movie. And then sometimes those songs are just straight up pop songs. They don't necessarily fit in the movie. That's why a lot of times they get played over closing credits, is they don't actually fit in the middle of the movie.
They just work at that part. I've always worked a little differently. When I like composing visual images to the sound of songs and music. So I'm not a scoreman, but I did think of something that a task to put Spencer to.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And I want to have him score a trailer and also uses digital editing, sound effects, and whatnot. I don't know if y'all remember, but a week ago we introduced you to Clumbo the Chimp, who works in the news and tells the weather.
Yeah, he works over on our news station.
So I've kind of half-assed put together a Clumbo trailer for his big movie, and I want Spencer to score it, and we're going to see how much better it sounds with the music and effects and everything.
Okay.
So here's how it sounds right now.
All right, Chicago, you keep that pep and you step, and people's in the streeters.
All right, cut. Good show, Harry. You tried.
Harry Steele is a newsman down on his luck.
I'm sorry, Harry, but if these ratings don't get better, the next station you'll be working at is the Shell on the Corner.
When a chance meeting changed his world.
Harry, we have a guest for you. This is Leslie, the director of the National Zoo.
From the makers of Bait Mate the Cosmic Space Monkey.
We were hoping to get some publicity about our new chimp display. We've even got one trained to do the weather. Meet Clumbo.
A story about an unlikely friendship.
And now let's go to the weather with Clumbo. Looks like a lot of clouds in the sky out there.
A storm is coming.
And that's where you can add some sounds.
You've what?
We let Clumbo get a job doing weather on the Harry Steele Show.
You've killed us all. Don't you realize that chimp is a trained assassin and his trigger happens to be lightning?
What have I done?
When it rains, it pours.
Clumbo, no! What are you doing?
This summer, get ready for a hurt wave with slight chances of pain.
From the rainforest to forecasting the rain.
Oh, Clumbo!
There's something about Clumbo.
All right, there you go. First thing, it's way too long.
Yes.
But we're gonna have you edit down and make that and score that trailer.
It is wonderful. And you're giving me PTSD flashbacks. You know, I used to work for a company where I edited movie trailers.
Yeah. And so you can help Spencer along.
Well, the whole time that you were playing that, I'm like, oh, you needed a cut there. Oh, you needed a cut there. That you let that dragged on too long.
I know, but the thing is if I were to do that, it takes away from Spencer polishing it and making it nice.
Yes, yeah, so. That's the excuse. That's the excuse I use.
What's your private heck a good shame meal?
It's time for parent pickup.
Welcome back to the Parent Pickup with our friend Matt Bearden, and this just gets my tummy rolling.
Yeah, you know, sometimes these are things specifically for parents, but I think this one, anyone can play this game. When you're a parent, the way you eat really changes. Every parent out there, every single one of them, has eaten the remaining two wooden spoonfuls of macaroni and cheese.
And cold nuggets.
Yeah, when you finally get the kids fed or whatever, and then you just, over the sink, you have that pot and you eat the remaining two. That's the actual measurement, is the wooden spoonful.
Yeah.
And that's your meal sometimes. You're just kind of going and you do with what you can. Sometimes it's an actual additional fourth or fifth meal.
Yeah.
That's how I have this panza here. But when my family leaves and goes out of town, I don't really feel like making myself a steak or anything fancy. Sometimes I just want these weird, simple comfort foods. And I'm wondering, some of them are sometimes shameful. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, it's not something I would brag about. I love to pop that whole big chunk of Spam out of a can, slice it thin, fry it up, and then just mayo, pickle, white bread. That's it.
Damn.
That's it.
Really good.
It's really good. It's not healthy at all, but it is meal that I thoroughly enjoy.
No one's watching.
They're not watching. I shouldn't even be telling you some of these things. But
eat like no one's watching. That's what you're supposed to do. I love PB&Js with chips.
Mm. Yep.
I love to make a lot of different stuff with bacon that my fiance doesn't like because it gets too greasy, like bacon-wrapped asparagus with string cheese. I cook bacon, and then I make Brussels sprouts on top of it. But my back-in-the-day go-to, I haven't done it in a while, but I would always have some of those microwave taquitos and burritos.
Yep.
And I would usually deep-fry or bake them in the oven. And then when they were done, I would turn the oven off, the heat off, but it was still warm in there. I'd put a slice of American cheese on top.
There you go.
Pull it out, and then put some Tapatio on top of
it. There you go. Mm.
That was so good.
Yeah, there are some people sharing theirs online, things that they really like. And some of them aren't crazy. I like this person. They say they take a tostada shell, like a store-bought tostada shell.
I love it already.
Smear it with plain Greek yogurt. Then add shredded cheese, diced tomato, some tahini, and some Cholula hot sauce. Off the bat, that sounds crazy, but also I bet it's pretty good.
I bet it works. I don't know what it is about that. I'm a huge fan of utilizing hot sauce with some of my like little secret meals, if you will. In fact, the worse the better. As far as like, I get chicken tenders and I douse it in Valentina hot sauce.
Yeah.
That stuff's amazing. And then I eat chips and salsa on the side for that crunch.
You guys found the joy that is chili crisp yet?
I don't think so.
You can get it in most Asian stores. It's starting to trickle over into Western stores as well. It's called chili crisp. And there's a bunch of different brands. You can pretty much chili crisp anything. Mm. I've put it on ice cream before. It's garlic and chilies. It's hot. And you can put it on pretty much anything.
Yeah. Sounds amazing.
You can meal.
Mix it with some olive oil and make a little sauce.
There's a woman, it's in its own oil. You don't need to mix it with anything. That's the great thing about
better.
It. You put spaghetti in it and it's perfect.
There's a woman online
talking about how she loves, anytime she has potato salad, she makes extra because her favorite thing for the rest of the week, potato salad sandwiches.
Yum, dude.
That's how she describes it. Any kind of bread, big ass spoon full of potato salad, mayo, mustard, smash it together.
Yeah, I'm doing
it. That's an easy recipe for any of us to follow.
These are the stoner meals for non-stoners.
Yeah.
I love
spaghetti
it.
Spaghetti on white bread with mayonnaise.
Dude,
I see somebody
spaghetti
say.
Spaghetti sandwich.
Somebody says, I cook up one hamburger patty and then use frozen waffles for the bun, which I'm okay with.
I like sauteing mushrooms and garlic, but then adding, like, as it's cooking, keep adding butter and blue cheese. And I've made this as a steak sauce before, but I eat it on anything. I'll make a batch, and then all week long, it becomes its own blue cheese butter kind of loaf, and then you can eat it on bread. Yeah. You can bake a potato and put it on it.
Our buddy Chewy, I've seen him. I've witnessed him do it before. He'll make he'll get these tortillas, and he'll put hot Cheetos in them and make just a little hot Cheeto tortilla while he's eating a chicken sandwich.
I have a belief that anything can ramen, anything can taco. And I think you can figure out what I mean by that.
Yes.
A store-bought package of ramen, or if you've got tortillas, you can kind of make anything out of any leftover. One thing I've loved since I was a kid, big flour tortilla, get it really hot, spread butter on it, sprinkle it with salt, then peanut butter as well. Roll that thing up.
Yeah, your peanut butter tacos are famous.
But speaking of that peanut butter, here's one last one from the internet that I think anyone should listen to. Warm up a can of Chef Boyardee ravioli.
I'm there.
Then make some peanut butter toast. Lay the ravioli on top of the peanut butter and enjoy.
Okay.
Man,
that
I'm out.
Sounds so out there that I feel like I have to try it, and I bet it bangs.
All right, Matt lost this week's sports bet. Spinny, while I recap our current tournament bracket, will you pull out our Plinko board and slap this punishment somewhere?
Oh, you've hidden it over here in the corner, so that must mean...
spank bank.
Okay.
Now, what was our spanking plan, Matt? We had some sort of punishment device where you get spanked.
Well, if I land on spanking, then you were supposed to spin a wheel, and I would have a number of times I would get spanked.
Good idea. Spinny, add another note with another spank bank on there, because we really want some spankings. But Matt, let's go to our bracket. You and I used a dartboard, essentially, to pick the Sweet 16, and you have four teams in the Final Four: North Carolina, Purdue, Alabama. I only have UConn, and the way the points work, I need UConn to win outright if I'm going to defeat you by in this bracket.
It is
down to silliness.
I got
to
say, I was looking at it yesterday. I didn't say anything while we were on air, but I just kind of kept peeking over there and looking at the wins and losses and kind of getting it in my head. And man, oh man, the darts turn out to be in my favor, because if you had asked me to choose a bracket, I would not have chosen the teams that are currently doing as well as I do. And I wouldn't have chosen, I mean, I certainly wouldn't have had, North Carolina State. I thought that their run was going to end when it ended.
A week ago. And what's funny to me is my very first dart throw, my very first hit was UConn, and that is the only one in there.
That's keeping you in.
The only thing keeping me alive.
My head above
water.
Yeah,
we bet $100 on that.
We did?
Yeah, don't you remember?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. Yeah, you're just saying that because you have a better chance of winning.
Yeah.
I did change the final point score for the overall winner to 9 points instead of 7.
Why?
Because then I'll win by 1 point instead of losing by 1 point if UConn wins.
So why don't you just say that you lost right now?
Well, because that doesn't make it fun or fair.
Can I say something that I love you, but this thing you do where you constantly change rules in the middle of games?
No, I'm not. I'm just...
This is why your friends didn't want to play with you growing up in Amarillo. Ooh.
This time I did it. It's because I'm trying to make the games more entertaining for the players and the viewers.
We used to play cops and robbers with.
Sure.
I'm sure we had different terrible names for it when we were kids, but... he would you would be shooting bang, 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 and you're like, I got you. And he's like, no, I have a laser shield.
I didn't do that stuff.
I think you probably did.
No.
I think you just...
The rules I would change would be like, hey, you shot 8 times, but a revolver only holds 6 cartridges, so you don't get to shoot. It would be rules that would work to make the game...
That sounds
fair
exactly
and fun.
Like what Matt just said.
It's not. Adding a laser shield.
Here's an update. There wasn't enough room for the spank bank, so I took off the hang 10, which is just buying out.
Okay,
I think
that's good.
That's the least.
I think
boring.
He wants you to add one more.
Yeah,
spank
add one
bank
more spank
on
bank.
Oh,
just,
one more.
Yeah, cover something up.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll add one more.
He definitely wants an opportunity to try to spank me, which I think is very erotic.
Do not cover up a line of ketamine. That is still our punishment that we're waiting and leaving and hoping that someday gets enacted. Here you go, spinning couple
Thanks.
Of notepads, Matt.
That's
if you
want to
walk over to the board.
Yep.
And pick up your Plinko chips. Again, Matt lost the sports bet. We use a Plinko board to decide punishments, not a wheel like other corny radio shows might do. Not naming any.
All right, I'm going to take out the Dire Squire. How's that sound?
Yeah, well, leave Dire Squire because we still want Matt to end up going to...
okay.
Yeah, take out exactly. That's right. Going to be an annoying punishment. And another spank bank. Here we go, Matt. Let's see your punishments.
I know that you really want Spank Bank to happen, so in kind of participating with you, I'm going to drop these on the right hand, the Plinko board, where it's a more likely land up in Spank Bank.
Okay, let's do it. And again, that determines how many times we'll paddle Matt.
Okay.
With
it's on the way.
A wheel.
Oh, I made it.
Oh, we got one spank bank in. Come on, ketamine!
Hey!
All right, Matt's punishments for the week, which you can vote on at CJ Morgan Show, are spank bank or snort a line of ketamine. And if you get that punishment, it's on you to secure the keg.
Chill.
There are about 6,000 homeless people in Austin. That's the article I saw earlier today. Couldn't find that again.
Right.
But that census seems a little off. That seems...
low?
Pretty low. I'm guessing that's people count in shelters.
It must be, because the last number I saw was around 2,800. So that's a hugely inflated number from
there. It's a pretty high number, but I think there's probably more. There's 10, underground.
People is a lot of people.
Yeah, that very true. But this is a large area with a lot of people spread out.
Okay.
I don't know.
Where are y'all getting yours now, your numbers?
I walk around counting. One, two. Okay, let me start over again.
Now, you're saying homeless in general, people who are unhoused. That includes anybody, not just somebody living on the street.
6,000 people. That's what the city said they counted. Okay. And
but probably, what, 3/4 of that would be in a house somewhere. They just don't have a house.
In a shelter, a halfway situation.
Or living with a family or living with some friends or something. That's still considered homeless.
I don't know. Like I said, I didn't find the article.
Okay.
I was going to talk about Austin committing to more transparency on homeless.
Yeah.
But now I really want to go around counting them. And what's frustrating is some of them have interchangeable capes that they wear, blankets with two colors, and so they'll flip it on the they'll flip it inside out, and then you accidentally count them twice.
Ruin your count. Okay,
that could be happening. But a lot of people are frustrated with the city, and the city said it'll now make more efforts and commit to being more transparent on homelessness in Austin. Big article, big statements about it, couple of meetings, but still no plan of action or solution. And it got me wondering, and this is going to sound pretty cruel and messed up, but should we start doing what other cities do and just giving a bus tickets to other cities?
Well,
I mean, that's how everyone gets to Austin, right?
If you don't care about humanity, yeah, that's something you could do.
Well, you bus them to somewhere that cares more.
That doesn't exist. That's the issue.
So you mean it doesn't work?
Yeah.
You mean ignoring a problem and sending it somewhere else isn't the way to handle it.
I know when I was spending time in Ireland, they had a poster, like a big billboard up that said every night more than 300 people sleep on the streets in Ireland. 300 people sleep on the streets in the country. There's a huge shame about the idea that you would live in a country, have enough money for people to eat, but you would still have people living on the streets. It's a huge public shame to have that. So there is a lot of energy.
And we're not talking about shame on the individuals. We're talking about as a society.
Yeah,
we're not taking better care of people.
We would be this advanced and have this much food and have public transportation and whatnot, and then we would allow people to live on the streets. So as a culture, people work very hard, especially through their churches and stuff, to make sure that people have a roof over their head. I don't think culturally we're in the same place, obviously.
No, we like to place the country. Blame.
We don't like the look of homelessness. I mean, there's been no changes. We passed an ordinance not long ago that said it was illegal to
be homeless,
be on the street.
The camping ban.
Except it wasn't a camping ban.
It was overturned.
It was a camping ban of where I can see you. What had happened is a lot of people had always lived in green belts and lived in kind of public spaces that you couldn't see, but they're far away from bathrooms, running water, or any kind of help.
Food, anything.
So what happened is when we lifted that, people moved out of the woods where they were living and then were on the streets closer to convenience stores, things like that. When we reenacted that ban, those folks moved back into neighborhoods. I live in a neighborhood right now where we have, I think, 3 or 4 different homeless encampments.
Like little encampments
and
creeks.
Because we have a lot of green space in our neighborhood.
There's a lot off Breaker Lane in that wooded area.
And it's a really deep issue to get in. A lot of these are people that are trying desperately to get out of the criminal justice system. You cannot leave the county if you're on probation. But if you don't have family in this county, you don't have anybody that can support you, and nobody will hire
you if you're
on probation.
It's hard to get a job
so
if you
can't
have
get
that.
A job, but you have to live here until you're done. So you're forced. Literally, the law forces you to be homeless until you complete your probation. Then you can go back to wherever you are or get a job or what have you. So.
And another complaint I see a lot online, because there's just people like, oh, look, another homeless in Austin. But even if they are doing something which is illegal, they get ticketed, they don't pay it. Years down the road, that ends up a warrant for something small. But doesn't that cost the taxpayers more money to throw someone in jail than
we're
it would?
We're not working together to solve a problem. We have 15 different groups that are working against one another for their own solutions to the problem. Look, everyone has the right to live in a neighborhood where they feel safe and where if you spend a lot of money, it should look clean and nice when you pull into the neighborhood, sure. You know? I can't say that I'm delighted sometimes when I see a woman who pulls her shorts to the side and shows off her nether regions. That happens at my neighborhood occasionally. It's not my favorite thing, but the solution, I don't think, is just me being angry and screaming.
Exactly.
You know what I figured out?
What?
There is no solution.
That's not true. There are solutions.
No, don't give up.
You know what I figured out?
There's no easy solution?
There might be a solution. Yeah. There's no easy solution.
That's what means.
No
easy.
Solution. Grab your weed whacker. You ready to take a ride on the Nutmobile?
The internet has never been so easy.
Let's take a look at the things people are talking about on the internet. A man thwarted a robber and chased him off. Didn't catch him. Almost got him, though, but used his weed eater to do so. And I've never been more happy to actually own an electric weed eater that's battery, not cordless, because if it was not, I would have to pump it and then pull and then throw a temper tantrum and throw it and then get it to work for about 10 seconds before having to change the cord spool and then...
Okay, so how long do you think you'd reasonably be able to chase down a criminal?
Until I got him with the weed whacker. It's longer. That's like 10 footsteps I don't have to take.
I have a weed whacker that turns dog turds into IEDs.
Into
does that
flying
count?
Weapons.
Yeah. Does that count?
You do have a big dog.
I got a D whacker.
Let's check out this story. Got it started at the end, and then the car took off. I like that. So he had the weed whacker, wouldn't start it.
Yeah, man.
The robber did get away, but the police apprehended him. So the weed whacker, great thing to grab. Speaking of crime, it doesn't pay to get a job with Lyft or Uber or any of those services if you get arrested. But don't worry, the police, they're there for you and your groceries. Lady was arrested because she had felony warrants in Florida and Texas, and was driving a delivery for a grocery store. So she was bringing someone's groceries, got pulled over, found out, I don't know, maybe it was a sting. I didn't read the story enough.
Okay.
But she was busted, went to jail. What happened to the groceries, you ask?
Yeah.
Well, let's find out.
Hello, you ordered groceries?
Yes.
Your driver got arrested, so we're delivering your groceries.
I know, what service, huh?
Where'd you like them?
I'll make sure you get his tip.
My dad was a police officer when I was growing up, so I have utmost respect for them. So when I saw that, it was just wonderful to see.
Oh, look at that, a heartwarming police officer story after arresting someone with warrants that were probably dumb. Ah, they were felony warrants, whatever. But they delivered the groceries. They took them there. Any you snacking on anything out of there? They're not going to know. You could just blame it on the driver, right?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, but that's not a...
You think if they busted somebody who was making a weed delivery, they'd still deliver your weed to your house? Hey, your weed man got busted, so we're bringing a weed.
Oh, wrong address, bro.
I don't know.
They're like, wait, this is Cheech and Chong stuff. This is
Dave's
legal.
Dave's not you can, here, man.
You can literally mail this.
Well, if that person's looking for another driving job, maybe the second most famous commercial snack vehicle out there, the Nutmobile's hiring. What's the Nutmobile?
Oh, the planters, like the giant peanut?
I guess so. You know, we all know about the Wienermobile, but Oscar Mayer has that. We've had it here at the station before.
Right.
They didn't let me go inside. They just let, like, the ladies from the office got to go in.
The two things that we can drive are a giant dong and a giant pair of nuts?
That's how they...
What
I hope they don't
they
get
wreck?
In a wreck. I know. let's look at this job for the Nutmobile.
What's cracking? I'm Tanya, and for the past year, I've been traveling the country with my two coworkers and now friends in a giant peanut. We're in a new city every week, and if you're looking for your next nutty adventure, then listen up, because we're hiring our next class of peanutters. But there's more to this job than meets the eye. You'll be participating in media interviews, planning and attending some really cool events across the country, and even managing our social media channels. If you think you're the next perfect peanutter, head over to beapeanutter.com to submit your application before April 14th.
Man, that sounds like fun and a lot of hooking up, you got to imagine.
It sounds like I may be leaving the show.
I know.
That is a dream job for me.
Yeah, go right drive around with cute chicks, even though that...
I just meant being away from my family that long.
Yeah, sorry, I got to drive the peanut truck. And then you go to pick them up from school and they're so embarrassed. Because you're in the planner's tree. You're not even in the Wiener Schnitzel Mobile. But I just imagine too that like you also run our social media, that you're driving and like trying to tweet, and it's just, you know how jobs like in radio, it's stressful. You always have multiple roles you have to do.
Do you realize that all this is driving from radio remote to radio remote? That's essentially what this job is.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then the rest of the time, it's just people honking at you because they can't get around your big giant
nutmobile. Check out these nuts.
Yeah.
No.
Good luck trying to have the excuse that you're late.
Greetings, listener. It is now time for Weird or Wired.
If it's Weird or Wired, we'll decide it here. Right, Matt?
Yeah. You know, I like pop and junk science. I'm not smart enough to figure out real science, right?
Same. Who is?
But I do love the popular science and stuff that I can't understand. And I really like this one. Scientists from the University of Colorado in Boulder, they've created a brand new atomic clock. It uses lasers and strontium.
Oh.
And it's incredibly accurate. In fact, it's the most accurate clock ever created. And if we had 40 billion years, it would only be off by a little less than a second.
Whoa,
over 40 billion years.
Not
that's
good enough.
Twice as accurate as the previous record holder. This clock basically can theoretically tick with accurate time for nearly three times the age of the entire universe.
That's badass. And it uses lasers. That's that's really cool.
Does it have a calculator?
Well, here's the thing.
The watch
it's
I want.
Not, it's not a size that can fit on your wrist, which is kind of uncool about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, lasers. How am I supposed to... What's the point in inventing something that cool if I can't wear it on my wrist and impress the ladies?
That's true.
You know what else is uncool? My truck clock, it drifts, and it was eventually off like 11 minutes.
Yeah.
And I kind of knew that in the back of my head. So I'd estimate I was off 7 minutes, but when I got it serviced, they put the clock back to normal. And so now I'm always on time when I think I'm early.
Now, do you think that it's drifting, or do you think that you've got like one of those Back to the Future cars?
I'm driving so fast. Yeah, you know what? That might be happening.
You're going back in time just a few minutes.
Now,
I do have a Back to the Future car. It's a Toyota Tacoma.
Yeah.
Technically.
Clocks have come a long way since essentially, you know, Egyptians were using sundials or whatever.
Yeah.
And you might be asking yourself, so what if we get a more accurate clock? What good does that do? Well, I'm so glad you asked. The biggest thing that this clock is going to help us do is there are experiments that require, you know, breaking down what's happening in very, very exact measurements of time. And
physics in particular.
Yeah, something with this hyper-accurate timekeeping basically can help scientists. And one of the biggest things they think it may be able to do is help us to detect dark matter. Now, you might say, what is dark matter? And guess what?
It's most of the universe.
I can't answer it, and guess what? I don't feel stupid because scientists can't answer it either. How smart are you now, scientists?
Yeah, we know it exists. We know it's most of the universe. We don't know what it is. We can't see it or measure it.
Yeah, 80% of all matter in the universe, 80% is something that we can't taste, touch, feel, or even detect. It's just that when we do our experiments, and I say we, it's because I'm on the scientist team, when we do our experiments, we know because from the results that there is something else out there that we can't see, touch, taste.
Is that why your house creaks at night or like things just fall off of tables?
Yes, that's it. That's it. All right.
No, that'd be dark energy because that's what's moving it.
Yeah. Anyway, they think that because of these new hyper accurate clocks, we'll be able to see slight variances in time, and that will help us detect the presence now of the actual dark matter. If somebody can actually figure out what dark matter is, they're going to get like, probably like a free scoop at Amy's, maybe a free pie at like from Domino's. They're going to get a big prize.
Whatever
big prize if they figure this one out.
They'll get to go to all the Harvard or Cal Berkeley, basketball games for free.
Maybe get to rent out Fiesta Texas for a day just for really cheap or something.
I think so.
Do you think they'll get to try to take on the Coyote at a Spurs game? You know, like when they do one of those things with the
half court shot?
Yeah,
that too. Yeah. You know what, science? We got your back.
Did you know?
Whoa.
Who here is ready to learn?
I am.
Hope you're all raising your hands and eager and excited.
I'm here to learn.
Man, these the people of India, very, very helpful, sometimes maybe misguided. I don't know. But did you know in 1949, India sent the Tokyo Zoo 2 elephants to cheer the spirits of the defeated Japanese Empire? To me, though, that's like, we get a look at 2 sad caged elephants in a bombed out zoo and then use our scarce resources to feed some 600-pound animals and keep them alive.
It's not like they gave them a pair of puppies. These things are massive.
The other terrible thing is we all have known that the Indian elephant, not as cute as an African elephant. African elephant's tall, has bigger those big, ears. Giant ears. Skin isn't as spotty. I mean,
Well, you know what? It was just a nice thing.
It's the thought that counts.
I was going to say, I think they were just trying to get rid of those two elephants.
I think
these
so.
These two suck. Let's move them to Japan.
Oh, do you think that's like when you get a gift and you re-gift it?
Yeah.
You know, Winston Churchill, early in the war, really worried about losing like Singapore and Hong Kong and stuff because he thought if the Japanese can take these possessions away, India was still the crown jewel of the empire, and they were worried that India might rebel in the midst of World War II, and the Japanese tried to get them to. There was fighting north to the Indian subcontinent.
You're doing that thing again. Where you're
I am. I'm not doing a did you know. Yeah. Let's start over again with Matt.
Did you know the Marvel Cinematic Universe, most of you probably know it as the MCU. I already see your ears perking up, Spencer. I know you love this kind of stuff. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the events in Thor, The Incredible Hulk, and Iron Man 2 all take place within, you already know,
Earth?
7 days of each other.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that means that Fury, who's in all three of those movies, everything Fury's doing in those movies, he's doing during one solid, that's a brutal week.
Yeah, he's a busy fella.
He is.
Yeah.
Extremely busy.
He's the glue that holds them together, though.
Anyway, did you know supernovas? You guys heard of these things? You guys know what these are?
Yeah.
That's when a star explodes and destroys usually the entire solar system is carrying. Did you know supernovas explode on an average once every 100 years in a galaxy? Assuming there are 170 billion galaxies in the universe, there are 53 supernova exploding every single second.
Man, dude, the stars we're looking at now could just be gone already.
Whoa.
Because the light just reached us, and then suddenly we'll see a supernova light.
Love me some space talk, though.
I could do it all day, man. did you know? A man as big as space, Andre the Giant, when he passed away, there was no crematorium in France large enough to accommodate his body, so they cut him up. They didn't. They transported him to the United States.
Okay. I feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
Thank God.
No crematorium big enough, so they moved him here to the U.S.
Yeah.
We got big ol' ovens here.
CJ, you know that I love a scam. I know some people hate criminals, but when a scam goes really well, you know that I give them credit and I love it.
You got to tip your hat to them. Right.
But you know, on the flip side, I also love it when someone pulls a scam and then it backfires on them because they didn't think it all the way through. In 2011, Anthony Carleo stole $1.5 million worth of casino chips.
Is this real? Is this a true fact?
True. Did you know?
Thank you.
In 2011, Anthony Carleo stole $1.5 million worth of casino chips. He was eventually caught and tried. Here's the weird thing, though. The casino knew immediately the chips had been stolen. They canceled those chips, which means he wasn't ever able to turn them in or cash them in, so he couldn't spend any of the money he'd stolen.
Yeah.
And technically, since they had canceled them, he technically hadn't stolen anything but chips, clay chips that were worthless, but the way the law works, he was still tried for stealing $1.5 million and he got 11 years in prison, even though in the end of the day, all he had stolen was 11.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But it discourages criminals in the future. That's what they tell you.
It kind of sucked, though. I pulled a heist. What'd you get? Nothing.
Clay tablets.
Except for these 11 years in jail.
$50 worth of chips.
What they tell you also, I don't know how true this is, so I'm not going to say, did you know, but if you find a chip on the ground or whatever in Vegas that's a denomination that's worth more than like 100, you shouldn't keep it. You should turn it in because usually they can track where it came from and whatnot. Yeah. So if you find a big chip, you got to give it back.
The only exception is the big chip cookie, which is a chocolate chip cookie with a hint of coconut.
Delicious.
It's available at HEB.
If you find them, eat them in your mouth.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Morgan Show. Follow us online because the most important thing about radio is the internet.